You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Cool Project Show. I'm your host, Michelle Molyneux, and each show we discover wonderful projects from around the world. Today we're in for a treat. Today we're going to have Sergeant Tim Haugen from the Vancouver Police and the founders of the NASCARS program, as well as we're on location with Jelly Bean Autocrafters. Tim, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
Good before, to be here. Great. Now, before we get going with the show, let's hear a little bit more about you and your background, and how did NASCARS come into play?
Well, I'm a sergeant with the Vancouver Police Department, and I'm in my 29th year of policing.
Wow.
So one of the things that my journey took me to was the Downtown East Side and working with people who are drug addicted and mental health and all of the issues that go along with poverty and that sort of stuff. And I walked a beat in the middle of the heart of the city, which is basically one of the poorest neighborhoods in Canada. And in dealing with all of the drug addiction and those issues, I was asked to go and work on the Picton file. And I was one of the first 19 officers who actually identified, found, arrested Willie Picton.
Now, for our viewers, you may want to explain the Picton file. Most of our audience is from the U.S., and so they may not have heard of this.
Well, we believe that Robert Picton was one of the most prolific serial killers in Canadian history. And he had a farm out in Port Coquitlam. And he would take girls from the Downtown East Side, take them out to his farm where he would dispose of their bodies and do all sorts of horrible, nasty things. And in that investigation, we were able to gather evidence and actually arrest him and convict him of those murders. Along the way, I got to interview hundreds of family members and people that knew the victims and get a very different perspective from them. And NASCARS truly honors some of those people who truly were amazing people in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
So moving forward with how do you change the Downtown East Side? How do you have a positive influence on your surroundings? And I'm a firm believer in if you're going to complain about it, you better try to fix it and you better come forward with positive solutions to the issue. My solution, to change the youth.
Right.
To give them a future and to give them something to look forward to and positive connections and positive mentors. And NASCARS started with a little idea of taking youth that were stealing cars and obviously love cars, because you don't steal cars if you don't like them, and change kind of their perspective of what they were doing and why they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for 2 years, I tried to get people to buy into that idea because it's pretty out there to take kids who are stealing cars and to make them better with tools and that sort of stuff and watch them progress along the lines of becoming a mechanic. Well, lots of opposition to that, of course, because if you teach a kid how to be a better mechanic, they're going to steal cars faster, they're going to become better and better criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it to be quite the opposite. If we teach a kid a skill and provide them a positive mentor and a positive environment, I believe that the youth would go more towards being a productive member of society than simply using those skills to be a bad influence. And I believe I've been shown correct.
You have been.
So now when you look at NASCARS the way it is 10 years later, we have youth that work in office buildings, that are working on fish boats who have children and are fathers and mothers and are absolutely what we want in Aboriginal youth or First Canadian youth. We see them in the justice system prior to NASCARs, stealing cars, thieving, stealing, doing drugs, being involved in a drug trade. Mm-hmm. Now, the youth from the neighborhood are not known for that. I was speaking with one of the, basically the officers that go out and deal with youth and make sure that they're abiding by the conditions and doing all that sort of stuff. And one of his comments was, well, we don't see your youth. I don't deal with your youth from that area at all.
Right.
They're just not represented anymore. And what that means is we now have a generation of Aboriginal youth from the downtown east side that have never been in a stolen car.
Wow.
And we were the neighborhood where stolen cars were known. It was one of the worst places in North America. Vancouver and the Lower Mainland was the hotbed for stolen cars and that sort of stuff. And now we don't even show on the list. Like it's not totally gone, but it's certainly not overrepresented. And in fact, it's underrepresented within the criminal justice system.
Wow. Now, how does NASCARs work? And you must have a team of supporters, partners. So how does that whole thing work for the youth?
Well, it's a group of folks who are like-minded, who are car people, and then kid people. So Alex Vasiliak, he is the kid person. So he's the one that says, hey, we're gonna go to NASCARs, and he brings the youth kind of together. Other police officers recommend folks to come to the program. I'll go to a car show, and I'll talk to fathers and parents and different folks at one of these car shows and hand out the cards. And we bring a group of folks together who are youth, who are car enthusiasts, and they want an experience working on cars. So that's how we start.
And what's the age group?
14 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the really neat things is when you turn 19 and you've been a part of NASCARs, we will actually hire you back to work with the youth.
Okay.
So then we not only encourage self-reliance, but we also offer, you know, job opportunities and career opportunities in youth work. So it all kind of connects, and we provide those scholarships and mentorships and all the things that we need to do to be able to bring those youth back and really give them a positive start in a working career.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start looking at what Alex does, you know, he's one part of the partnerships that we form.
Yeah.
And then we form a partnership with VCC. VCC is the Vancouver Community College.
Yeah.
And they're a huge supporter in what we do with youth, and they're the basis and the base for the shop, where we go, where we gather. And they've been a wonderful partner in terms of the community. They've just come forward and embraced what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we go in, and the kids use our tools in their shop. And in 10 years, we've never had a tool go missing when we've been in the shop.
Wow.
And it's you know, walking into a fully supplied automotive shop with tools. Now, the NASCAR kids have their own sets of tools. And they're worth thousands of dollars. And they're our kids' tools. And they're as proud of having tools as they could possibly be.
And it also gives them a really great environment because they're in a community college environment setting as well. Which
well, what,
is something that they never would have thought they would be in, I'm sure.
Well, what happens is you break down the barriers.
Yeah.
Because they've been so stigmatized through education that education is a bad thing in how they are, their outlooks on life, mm-hmm. is that I'll never accomplish that. I'll never be able to go there. And one of the things that we do is we take them into the community college, set them into that environment, and it is so different from high school and so different from what they're used to. And, hey, we can do this. I can do this. This is a very different thing. And what we find is when they do get into the community college environment, they actually do very well. And we're blown away by the successes that we've had.
Wow. And other partners, I know Jelly Bean is a partner as well.
Absolutely.
And how do they fit into the...
Well, Jelly Bean are the folks that are able to take what our kids can't do and make it a reality. Take one of those cool ideas and make it happen for us. Taking our 35 Ford and being able to fully customize that car, and every single panel on the car changed in some way, shape, or form. The lines on the car now are unreal. When you see that car sitting out, it just blows you away. Mm-hmm. And then even, you know, the 1965 Chrysler 300 and the paintwork and the lace work on the roof of that car and those type of ideas, those, you know, out of the box ideas that kids come up with to do something, and then they kind of make that a reality for us.
Right. And now, is it a year-long program, or how does it work with the kids?
Well, what we do is we start in the spring, around April, and we run until September, the school year. Mm-hmm. So our spring program is evenings, Tuesdays and Thursdays. So they come at 4:30, and they're there till 8. And we provide lunch every single session. So food is a huge part to connect with youth. And sometimes it's the only true meal that these kids will actually get in a day.
Wow.
And when we started, literally it was the meal for these kids. Now, because we've moved forward, you know, 10 years, we've brought the wraparound services for our kids at NASCARs and the families and all of that sort of stuff. So now we find that we can actually do a lighter lunch, mm-hmm. because all the other wraparound services are there, and that's a very important part. So what also makes NASCARs work is that it's not just simply the shop time. It's not just simply the community time. It's not showing up at a show with a car and having kids there. It's the whole encompassing experience for a youth who sees the world basically through a different lens.
Right. And how many kids do you have in the program?
We normally do 30 kids a year.
Mm-hmm.
We've had as many as 40 go through in a year.
Wow.
And makes it very difficult for our youth workers and our instructors. But we battled through those years and we battled through those times. And the summer program, we do a boot camp where we do 2 days in the shop and then a day of helping in the community, mm-hmm. and then a day of fun.
Right.
So at the end of the week, these kids have had an experience where they've gone, they've done their work, they've helped others do work, and then they get a day of fun, a reward for that.
Okay. Right. We'll be right back.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back for the second part of our Cool Project show. And today we have Sergeant Haugen from the Vancouver Police and one of the founders of the NASCARS, Never Again Steal Cars program for youth at risk. So Tim, we were just actually talking about the program itself and how it works for the youth. Can you continue on and just do a quick recap? But how does it work for the kids in the program?
Well, what we find is that kids are referred to us by their parent, by a friend, by a youth in the community, or simply by a contact with a police officer, or even being at a show. We've got a youth that came to the auto show, and we had a booth there, and we started talking with him and his family, and he thought this was something cool that he wanted to do, and he actually travels 45 minutes on transit to get to us and participate in the program. So I won't turn away a youth who shows that type of dedication, because quite frankly, that's who I want there.
Right.
Is those kids, they're going to be our positive influences within the kids who may not have that drive. And by putting that individual near someone, he's going to have an effect. And most of the time, it's a positive one. So that's kind of how it all works, is we take these positive things that the youth bring themselves, our sponsors bring positive influences as well. Jelly Bean and their creativity allow us to be able to do that sort of stuff when we're simply fabricating one of our soapbox racers. These things glow in the dark with the paintwork and their 50-style hot rods and their dragsters and all of that sort of stuff really attracts the kids, but it's the out influence on, hey, this would be cool, or if I was a kid, I think this was cool. And that's how we get those real cool sponsors to have an impact on what they're doing, or their little piece, or what they're willing to contribute can be something as simple as, I'll help you build a racer.
Right, and even got U-Haul that provides trailers for you to transport their cars.
The automotive community has absolutely embraced what we do. We have received sponsorship from all over North America, but it's our local folks who have truly helped the most. Sponsors like U-Haul, sponsors like Jelly Bean, ICBC, Van City, all of the
Coast Capital,
all of those folks that have come forward to help us are amazing. BASF, White and Peters, all of these people that donate parts and pieces, Summit Racing, all of the little pieces that we get from people, KMS Tools, imagine them donating parts and pieces and seat belts and different things to help the kids do their soapbox race. It's amazing when you introduce these kids to someone who's actually sponsored you. And having an executive from ICBC meet one of our kids and being impressed by them as a person, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, who is ICBC?
We have an insurance company that basically does the entire province. You can't buy insurance in the province of British Columbia without purchasing at least your basic insurance from the Insurance Corporation of British Columbia, which is ICBC. And their executives come out to our programs and our events to meet the kids, because they donate to our program every year. And they're blown away by the experience these kids have and the type of people they turn into and the type of people that they show up and are. Mm-hmm. And their experience.
And the impact as well for the auto theft.
Well, the impact, basically, that's a bottom line item where when we simply don't have cars being stolen, they're not paying out a ton of money. And when they say we've reduced our auto crime in their statistics by over 80%.
80%.
80%.
That's amazing.
It's over the moon for us, but them as well. And they see a true value in supporting a program that helps do that. And it's really also that true partnership, mm-hmm. that it really works for them and it really works for us. And when I'm asked about NASCARs and, you know, how out of the box that it is, well, that's exactly right. It is very much a out of the box thinking model. It doesn't happen without an ICBC. It doesn't happen without the person who buys a T-shirt. It doesn't happen without those people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Jason from the auto show. He doesn't give us a booth at the auto show. We don't make the contact with the one kid from Surrey. So it's all connected, and that one kid from Surrey travels in, has a connection with one of the youth, and they become friends, and that environment is the NASCAR's environment, and they thrive in it, and they really start to produce and stretch their wings and their skills to a point where they're the next generation of people creating cool cars and doing the paintwork and doing the trades. That's the youth that are going to be doing it, are these kids.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
It is. It really is. Is it in the program itself, is it mainly boys in the program or girls, or how does that...
Well, that's the greatest thing.
Yeah.
Is you would expect this to be for boys.
A boys only, yeah.
A boys only, but... Anyone that knows me, I won't turn away a youth. So when a girl shows up, right on. That's cool. We'll bring that influence in, and we'll get a yellow soapbox racer with metal flake paint or a purple stool or whatever that brings. And it's really cool. And they bring just another layer of dynamic to it that is just fantastic when you watch one of these youth have an influence on something.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time it's a connection with a person or a friend in the community says, hey, I want to go do this. So it's that sort of stuff. But we've had kids that actually associate with a car.
Oh, okay.
Like an inanimate object was the thing that caused this person to become clean and sober. And remain clean and sober for 3 years. Complete education. Now striving to go to college and getting scholarships to go to college and work experiences in the community. And she connected with a 1965 Chrysler.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't a person. She'd come. She loved this car. And she worked on the car from the time she showed up, which was early, until the time she left, which was normally the last one in the shop. And just a rock star. And
how
we didn't expect
she
that.
She got in the program?
She was 16.
Yeah.
And she was a lone mother, a teen mother.
Well.
So she'd show up with her kid. One of the family members would meet her there. They'd do the transfer, and she'd be in the shop working until the time that she finished, and then she'd go and get her kid, and back on to going home and leading her life. But it was that car that she connected to. And that's what, I'm going to get clean and sober, and I'm going to do this. The other stuff basically was irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
The food was irrelevant. The friendships that were being made around her were irrelevant.
Yep.
And that fact that you can just simply connect to a car, I mean, it's a cool car.
Yeah.
But the kid that came and connected to it, she's one of the success stories that I like to tell because I think she's a really neat lady.
Yeah.
And when you talk to her, you walk away going, she's cool. And it's that sort of experience.
And she knows cars.
And it's like, that's what we want to see. It's that common language.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is what car folks know. There's a language to cars. And kids who feel disconnected from most communities, they can speak car. We'll teach them to speak car. And now they're part of the community. They don't have to feel on the outside and alienated and looking in through a false ceiling. And that's the neat part.
That is the neat part. A lot of confidence building.
Well, you watch these young adults turn into men and women, and the confidence that they walk around in their neighborhood and the pride that they feel for what they've done is incredible.
Right.
And imagine, you know, doing a lace paint job on a roof of a 1965 Chrysler and having people at an auto show who, you know, are around million-dollar cars flip over that effect on a car.
Wow.
And just, I had 100 people, if I had one, just, how did you do that? Like, that is so cool.
Yeah, how do you do a lace on a car? Your projects are on Cool Projects as well, so people can see the progress.
Exactly.
And see that lacing. And how is that done? I've been
basically done with a tablecloth. With a tablecloth and a piece of lace, and you use it as your template, and you basically spray different colors of paint and different effects in that paint, and then you candy over top of it, and you get. You get a car called Cashmere and Root Beer.
And a beautiful brown and metallic tan lace work.
It's over the moon. People flip over it.
Yeah. Right? What other projects do you have? So we've got the Cashmere and...
Root Beer. We have the 1935 Ford police car that is...
How did you get that car?
Well, it came from a field in Saskatchewan, and it literally was a wreck, and we've taken that car and basically made it one of the most cool 35 Fords around, and there's hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of fabrication work that Jelly Bean's done to that car.
Wow.
And the sponsor there, because they're able to do all of that neat work. It's just so cool.
That is really cool.
And when you look at the car beside an original 35, the lines on it just, that's a cool one, and it's not the original one. It's been stretched and ballooned and channeled, and it just sits in a very different way.
Oh, really?
And you sit there and you look at it and you just go, that's cool. and you can see it. You can see the lines on it just from 100 yards away.
Yeah.
That's a cool car.
Well,
we've done the Mystery Machine. The Mystery Machine was a van. We were given
Scooby
a van,
Doo,
like Scooby-Doo.
Oh, wow.
And I said to the kids, you guys figure out a theme, and we'll paint this van up in that theme. Well, I expected flames and skulls and all sorts of that genre of well, that's the paintwork we want to do to this car. Well, that's not what they came up with. They came up, we want to do the Mystery Machine. And I'm like, we're doing the Mystery Machine, and it was so cool.
Oh, wow.
And they painted it up just like the Mystery Machine.
Well, we'll talk more about some of the projects when we come right back from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
It's not just your garden. It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties. Track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow with Bonnie.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctor's conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the third segment of Cool Projects, and we have with us Sergeant Tim Haugen from the Vancouver Police and also one of the founders of the NASCARS program, which is Never Again Steal Cars. And also joining with us, we have Kurt Penner from Jelly Bean Autocrafters. So, Kurt, welcome to the show as well.
Thank you.
So we've just been talking about some of the projects, and one of them was the Mystery Machine that you've worked on. So can you tell me some of the other cool projects that the students have done?
Well, we were able to do a PT Cruiser. Mm-hmm. The project was given a PT Cruiser. It needed paintwork. And what we were able to do is to do that paintwork and then give it to another community group so that they could use that vehicle to transport women to shelters when they needed transportation. They didn't have that, and we saw a need, so we provided them the vehicle painted in their colors so that they can continue work in the community. And then that, you know, creates a branch for youth who to see that they're actually having another effect in the community, helping other people. And we've done a scooter. We've done the 65 Chrysler, which is a really cool car. And then we've also done a Beaumont for one of the instructors. We actually worked on his personal car. Mm-hmm. and did some work at NASCARs for him. And then the Soapbox Racers.
Yes, now tell us a little bit about that. And Jelly Bean's also been involved with that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we've actually done with our Soapbox Racers is we've able to bring to youth in downtown Eastside, mm-hmm, a soapbox race, an annual soapbox race in the summer for 70 kids to absolutely have a really cool day of running soapbox racers down the back alley on a track or between hay bales, and that competition and all of that sort of stuff that experience brings. Plus, we've had our youth at NASCARs work and provide the day for those kids.
Wow.
And they get that work experience. They walk away going, hey, this was really cool. And then we hand out the trophies. And normally we find one of our youth that have helped for the whole entire day, just selfishly given of themselves, and we provide that individual with a trophy as well. And it really kind of takes some of them kids by surprise, and they're, you know, the last one was almost in tears because he's getting this trophy and he didn't think he was going to be able to even participate.
Right.
And he was one of the people that actually was able to help those kids do it. And then he received a trophy for his efforts.
Oh, that's
amazing. That's a real cool,
yeah,
experience for him.
Yeah.
So,
Kurt, how did you get involved with NASCARs? And what kind of things do you do for these kids?
When it first came up, Sergeant Tim walked into our shop one day and kind of told me a little bit about the program, told me about the 35-4 they were working on. And they were in a bit of trouble. There was a few mistakes that had been made in the car, and they weren't quite sure how to fix it. And they needed somebody in the industry to help out with some technical details and just put the program back on track again.
Right.
So I initially said, yeah, we could help out with that.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that I was committing to, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks maybe worth of involvement in this thing to get the program back on track. So it started off just as basically doing a favor for this program. Do some metalwork for them and then move on was my initial thoughts. After I started meeting the kids and getting to know a bit more of the program, I went, this is really, really cool. So here we are almost 4 years later now.
Yeah.
And, still actively involved. And, you know, the 35-4 is still in progress. We're hoping to be finished by now, but it didn't quite work out that way. So, and so now we're working on the 35-4 with them, doing the soapbox racers. And the soapbox has been really cool. It's not so much about going fast the way your typical soapbox racer is. This is more about style, design, having some fun building it. We cut up wheelbarrows to make soapboxes. We built one from scratch, patterned after one of the Mario Karts. And it's just all about artistic interpretation and right. having a good time.
They're not just your normal-looking soapbox cars.
No, they're not. An old wheelbarrow with some big tires on it looks ironically like an old 20s hot rod. And so that's kind of the inspiration that we look at is some of the really old hot rods and pattern after that.
Well, I didn't realize it was made out of wheelbarrows.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's typically the ones we've done so far, we've cut the shallow end out and had them right side up.
Yeah.
This year we're doing one that we're actually going to flip upside down and cut the bottom of it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up looking like a mid-30s car with the fenders pulled off of it, so which is a real common theme on the old hot rods as well.
Right.
So we're not only introducing the cars to them, there's a little bit of history that we talk about as well with the guys as they're working on these cars. They're learning a little bit about the roots of where the whole car hobby came from. We show them a lot of pictures of some of the old hot rods what guys used to build, you know, 40, 50, 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get a little history lesson on cars at the same time, too.
Right. Now, I'm just going to break away from NASCARs for a second, but can you tell me a little bit about Jelly Beans? Because we're actually in your shop as we're doing this interview, and there's some pretty amazing projects around me. I know some of them you cannot talk about, but others, like this giant engine that I'm looking at, which I'm hoping I can put on the site so people can see what I'm talking about here. But tell us about some of the projects that you do at Jelly Beans as well.
We get our hands on some really, really cool stuff. The big engine you're referring to is a unique project. Funny enough, it was a high school dream of mine to build a car like this, but I didn't have the tooling or the money to do it at that time, and so it kind of got dropped.
Mm-hmm.
A while back, a guy walks into the shop and he goes, I've got a 1970 Volkswagen Beetle, and I would love to stick an Oldsmobile 455 cubic inch V8 in the back seat. And we just lit up and went, yes, let's go. So what you see here is a 80% finished job at this point. And yeah, so there's an Oldsmobile 455 pushing 400 plus horsepower living where the back seat used to live in an old Volkswagen Beetle. So that's silliness in the best sense of the word. It's going to be really, really, really fun. And yeah, so that's kind of the fun side of things.
Yeah.
Other cars in here right now, there's a 62 Galaxy convertible here right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Sunliner, which is a really rare option. It's a one-owner car. This car, it looks like it just rolled out of the showroom. Every last detail of the car has been gone over and restored and done to perfection
right.
on it. We're doing a 61 Chevy. We're using a company called Schwartz Performance for their frame, and it ends up being basically a race car with license plates on it. It's just going to be a spectacular car that would give any modern car a run for its money in performance on any situation.
Right.
But it'll look like an old 61 Chevy when it's done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty wide range of stuff that we get into, both on the hot rod side and as well as the restoration side.
Right. And motorcycles, which we're not allowed to talk about.
Yeah, the particular bike we've got in here right now is destined for shows and for some magazine coverage, and so they want the grand announcement to be its first real public release.
Yeah.
And that's not uncommon. We've done a few cars that way where we kind of keep them under wraps till the car is done.
Yeah.
We did an old BMW that we used to put some stuff out there. It was a 1938 BMW built a few years ago. And we actually had a wine and cheese party on the unveiling. And we had a friend of ours who's a world-renowned cello player come out playing the cello in our hot rod shop with an old restored BMW there. And people walked in and it was a very different event. We're different than your normal hot rod shop. We're not all about, you know, just noise and fury.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a classy side to us sometimes, although it doesn't show up often. And so that was kind of what that night was about.
Cello and everything is great.
Yeah.
So coming back to the NASCARs, do you have some of the kids come out here and work on some of the pieces, or do you give some of the pieces to the kids to actually work on? How does that work?
We've had kids down here a number of times
yeah.
to do stuff. We don't let them work on the customers' cars because they're just too high-end for
too
what
high
we're
end.
Trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they've been down here when the 35's been here. They've been here working on the 35. And, yeah, it's been really neat actually having them in the shop environment, you know, with the other tradesmen that work here and just work as a unit
mm-hmm.
doing their stuff. Most of the work happens up at VCC. It's just a more space conducive to what we do.
Right.
But it's always cool to see the kids come down here, though, and pick up some of our tools and work in the shop.
Well, so any other new projects coming up?
The two biggies that we're working on right now are the Biscayne that we just talked about. Another one is a 53 Studebaker Champion.
Hmm.
And it's the same type of theme as well, where it's going to be all performance parts underneath. This one is destined actually to be a long-distance cruiser. The couple that owns it, they're going to be retiring in a couple years, and their plan is to take this car and basically travel North America in this car. So it's being built for long hauls. It's being built to, you know, for reliability, all of the stuff.
Right.
All of our cars are drivers. We're big fans of driving aircrafts.
Yeah.
I've got a 65 Beaumont convertible myself, and I turn on probably 16,000 kilometers a year that I drive in that car.
Yeah.
And it's my daily driver. As soon as the ice goes away, that's my
that car
driver.
Goes out.
Yeah.
For both of you, how easy is it to set up the NASCAR program? I mean, I can see this can be easily implemented within any community within North America or around the world. Is that the vision that you would like to see for NASCARs and for you, Kurt, that other auto restorers be a part of? Tim?
Yeah, I think it's doable in any community, but you do have to get past some of the initial shock and the initial, oh God, that's going to be hard to do, because you're going to get some of that when you introduce something that's out of the box. We did, and now it's easier for others because they can use our blueprint to do it. I get phone calls at least once a year from people saying, hey, we want to do this program. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm thinking. Can you send me some of your stuff or, you know, direct me in some direction towards this or towards that? And I've been able to do that successfully for them and help them make their project a little bit better too.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're actually seeing some folks doing this, and it's not a new thing anymore. 10 years ago, it was pretty cutting edge.
Right.
But with some of the research that people have done on the program and what actually occurs, and we've traveled all over North America giving our little talk and that sort of stuff to folks, and it's easier for them to do than it was for us to do.
Right.
The blueprint is there. Contact us, get a hold of us, and we will help you in any way, shape, or form that we can.
Right. And Kurt, you would recommend this for other auto restorers to get involved?
I would love it if a few more shops stepped up and got involved in it.
Yeah.
The program, as far as setting it up, the biggest obstacle we run into a lot of times is money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shop space is expensive, tools are expensive, cars are expensive. But when you look at the value given back to the community as far as the benefit to these kids, all of a sudden realizing that, wow, this is an attainable career, this is something I can make a good living at.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden you get guys who are used to the idea of, I'll never own a car, I have no shot at a house. They start to realize that they're equipped to get a career that will set them up fairly well in life. The rewards of that are way beyond what any money influx or time influx into it. So
right, exactly.
You don't like to use the word expensive because it sounds like you're not getting value. It's great value.
Yeah.
What we spend and what we turn out.
Exactly. So, first of all, Tim, how can people get a hold of you at NASCARs?
You can get a hold of us at www.nascars.com. Or you can get a hold of the Vancouver Police Department and myself.
Okay. And Kurt, how can we get a hold of you and Jelly Bean?
Easiest way probably is through the website.
Okay.
Jelly Bean Auto Crafters.
And I will actually post both of your information on the coolprojects.com website. So thank you very much for having us, and we'll be right back.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren. On Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Quick Stakes. That's QUIK stakes are not just for surveyors. They are great for family and community gardens. Go online to www.quickstake.com or contact your local land surveying supply dealer and get you a box of quick stakes. You'll love them every year when you plant your garden. Again, that's quick stakes, QUIK stakes, the truly preferred way to stake and identify what's in your garden now.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the last segment of Cool Projects. And with us, we're actually on location with Alex. And Alex Vasilovich is from the RayCam Community Center and is the co-founder of the NASCARS program. So welcome, Alex, to the last segment of our show. And first of all, can you tell us a little bit more about your side of the creation of the NASCARS program?
Thank you, Michelle. My side of things started about 10 years ago when we had... I have been working here at RayCam by that time for a number of years with youth in our programs. And there was a bit of a surprise at the time because we realized that there was a large issue with youth stealing cars in the community. Mm-hmm. And we offered a lot of programs. This center has been around for a long time, but we did not have necessarily programs to attract kids who are really into high-risk activity, such as dangerous, illegal, and all of that, such as joyriding, stealing cars. There was quite a shocker because we weren't aware until the cars started showing up in our parking lot, stolen cars.
At the community center?
That's correct.
Oh, wow.
And community members alerted us to this issue because all of a sudden these cars started showing up in our parking lot that we share with a large housing complex. And then we saw some of our youth around those cars, and we started connecting the dots and realized that these cars were brought, they were stolen, brought into our parking lot and joyride and so forth.
Oh, wow. And what are the age groups for these youth?
Usually, the age group, the ones driving it were teens, early teens, 14, 13, 14, 15. Mm-hmm. But the alarming part was that there was a lot of younger siblings, cousins. So we had kids as young as 9 joyriding. So there would be like 5 kids in a car with a 14, 15-year-old driver without license, obviously not their
right.
car. And police were dealing with that issue a lot back mm-hmm. in those days. They said that one of our youth, at the time we learned that he would steal 1 or 2 cars at the time, at night, because they would steal one and then would drop it mm-hmm. so they don't get caught and they would get into another one, and then they would drive it around. The most interesting part, they weren't doing it for parts or for monetary gain of any sort, like, you know, chop shops, nothing like that. It was more like joy riding. Yeah. These kids were, let's go for a ride, and that was, and then they would invite their friends for a ride.
Oh, wow. And so how did that migrate to creating this program called NASCARS?
Dealing with some of these youth, you realize that they were not bad kids.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't natural-born criminals, if there's such a thing. They were kids who were growing up in a very difficult family situations often.
Mm-hmm.
Not to give them any excuse, but you can see how a lot of these factors play into behavior. You know, as a youth worker, I've noticed that. And we realized that... you know, we don't offer any kind of activities around that. So we offer basketballs, we offer social programs, we offer homework clubs. But these kids also were into cars because they had no access to them.
Right.
There's a rampant poverty in the community here around RayCam. This is one of the lowest, if not the lowest income postal code with lowest family income in all of Canada by last couple of censuses, I believe. So poverty is a big... So there's no car in the family. There's no driver's license in the family. There's nothing like that. So these kids who are interested in cars, they kind of take things into their own hands.
Right.
Illegally and wrong and all of that. We don't support it. Myself, I called on two occasions I called the police when I realized, when I was witnessing youth stealing or driving in a stolen car, and we drew our line there, and we want them to get caught and get stopped.
Right.
But then what? Okay, now they're stopped, but these kids were, how do we reach out to them? Well, mm-hmm. offer them something around cars. That was our idea, so that's how the program started.
Wow. And that's how you met Tim, was through this program, or?
I met Tim, Sergeant Tim, through a mutual friend, but not because he was necessarily a cop. We wanted a cop.
Yeah.
We wanted someone who's connected in our program to work with the kids, but it wasn't just that we requested, you know, a police officer. He found out about what we were doing or we were trying to do, so a mutual friend actually connected us, and he, number one, he's in the program because he loves cars.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we definitely discovered that in our earlier interview today.
He has a great passion for cars, and he has a great passion for youth.
Yeah.
And changing things. And from his policing perspective, he wants things differently because he sees what doesn't work and when it repeats a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So his involvement in our program is, he's putting his 2 cents and he's putting his money, you know, where his mouth is, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually trying to change things, you know, with families, with youth and families here. So it doesn't go to his other job, policing
right.
job.
Yeah.
Because he really cares about young people.
Yeah. So now with this program, earlier on we did talk about there's approximately 30 kids in the program each year.
Yes.
Just to recap with me, is it a year-round program or is it broken out into semesters as per se?
We, for budgetary reason, because one of our biggest challenges, ongoing funding for last 10 years,
yeah.
because we always try to fundraise and find a way to fundraise, we, for budgetary reasons, we have program compacted to spring and summer session.
Mm-hmm.
So we run from April through spring until summer, twice a week after school.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the school is out, then we offer usually 3 or 4 day program, which includes shop as well as auto shop as well as social and recreational activities. So the kid get, in the summer, they can get a kind of full package.
Right, they get a well-rounded program.
Yes, and the program is free for the participants.
Yes.
Everything from, you know, transportation that we provide to steel tube boots or our van that we drive them in, you know, to activities. Any activity is, everything is free. And on top of that, we try to fundraise, and we're usually successful to offer an honorarium, which is, especially in the summer, that's an incentive to be in the program because kids, they want to make a few dollars during the summer, maybe get a part-time job. But if we offer them an honorarium, then that's an added incentive to come and join us.
Yeah. This program is so incredibly successful here. And one of the things that Tim and I had talked about earlier today was how we can spread it to other communities. Do you, in your personal opinion, think it's an easy thing to do? Or what would be the first steps for someone who wants to start creating this kind of a program in their community?
That's a great question. It is easy, but also it can be a great challenge for communities
mm-hmm.
too. Number one, I think what's needed is champions, community champions. It could be someone like a youth worker, a teacher, someone being in the background of it. But if you don't have community champions such as Tim, he volunteers and other volunteers like Kurt and Ewald from Jelly Beans. If you don't have community champions in other organizations, it is very difficult to sustain it. It is not hard to start it per se, but the challenge is to sustain it over time, and we have done that for over a decade.
Do you get lots of government support for this, or very difficult?
We did initially get quite a bit of government support, but again, that's usually a year or two, and then if you're lucky, and then there's nothing. So we were grateful for that as a seed money. We started. Without that, it would be next to impossible to start something like this. But right now, we get occasionally ICBC has been great, which is insurance company here in BC. They've been great to us because they saw initially an interest because stopping these kids from stealing cars, everyone benefits. An insurance company definitely benefits from that because it was an average $2,000 per car that they averaged it out. So every car that was stolen. So if a kid steals a car, two cars, that's $4,000 on average.
On insurance claims.
Yes, and it can be higher or lower if there's an injury, God forbid, or anything like that, right?
Right, right.
So how to spread to other communities? We've tried giving we were approached by a number of communities who wanted to do it, and short of doing it for them, we gave them all information, what works for us, what doesn't, and they would have to tailor it to their community too. Mm-hmm. But there has to be a common interest. In our case, it's the cars. Or mechanics and stuff. So that's kind of a gel that gets community champions and the kids together. Yeah. It could be around music. It could be around sports. It's already been done. We're kind of unique because it's around cars. Not many programs run like that. But it could be around interest, and there's always community champions that want to come because that's their interest. It's either music or art or it could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to spread out, but what happened with us is actually we ended up becoming more like a, not more like, we are a metro program in terms of our participation. We get kids from Vancouver, nearby Burnaby, New West, Surrey. These are all cities around Vancouver or next to Vancouver, and we get kids from all over Metro Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And we love it because we like to see our kids from Vancouver, from our area, mix and mingle with kids from all over Metro Vancouver.
Yeah. How many kids have gone through the program? Because you've been around for 10 years now, is it? 10 years?
Yeah, so at least 300 kids or more, I would say more, because we're just over. We started in 2005, really.
Right.
So just over 300 kids, I would say. And some of them are returnees. Some of them are brand new. Like mm-hmm. some of the kids showed up next year because we're a community project. It's about relationship building.
Right.
So we don't tell them you're finished, never show up again. Well, if they want to show up next year and learn something new and hire what they learned from the previous year, we love that.
Yeah.
And some of them return as leaders, and some of them return as staff as well in the program.
Yeah, which is great.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. So it's NASCARS is also very much an open door community-based program as well.
Absolutely. And yeah, we like to encourage, you know, our veterans, as we call them, to come back, alumni, to come back and join our events and share their stories. And a lot of them support the program through their businesses or organization they work with as a great cause. And it's a win-win situation.
It's a win-win situation. Now, just very quickly, with the NASCARS program, how would someone want to get a hold of you just to get some advice? Can they just go to the RACAM Community Center?
Yes, there's a website, NASCARS.com, NASKARZ.com.
Perfect.
And phone number here at RACAM is 604-257-6949. And if any questions around starting a project, similar project, or what worked for us, what didn't, we're happy to share. We did it, and we would do it again because we would like opportunity for young people, you know, to be, you know, represented or present everywhere. So if we can be helpful, we're here.
Great. Well, Alex, that's a wrap for the Cool Project show for today. I'm glad we were able to get you in at the last minute. And thank you so much for being on the show. And if anyone wants to get a hold of us, you can email us at coolprojects@americaswebradio. Thank you for listening and have a great day. Bye-bye for now.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.